This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2203. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition recorded August 10th, Alaska, Antarctica, Armenia, Canada, Colombia, Cuba, Czechoslovakia, France, Greece, Israel, Kenya, Korea North, Kurdistan, Mexico, New Zealand, Nigeria, North America, Okinawa, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Solomon Islands, Somalia, UK, USA, Vatican, Vietnam, Zanzibar, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Reminder, if you're hearing this in time, of a special broadcast from HAARP in Alaska, an experiment by Amanda Dawn Christie, the third in her series, and it is to be the last one. It's Sunday evening, August 13th in North America, or UT Monday, August 14th, at 0330 to 0430. All the details are at this website, all one word, ghostsintheairglow.space. And now the frequencies have been finalized. However, it's too complex for me to give them all here in detail with the exact timings during that hour, but in general they are, and they're not given any more precisely than 9.1, 9.6, and 9.8 megahertz. And during the last few minutes also 5.22 or 5.3 megahertz. And in CIDX Messenger, Sheldon Harvey provides some general info for HAARP radio enthusiasts. It says the HAARP Ionospheric Research Instrument, IRI, transmits only in the frequency range 2.695 to 9.995 MHz, with certain frequencies blocked out, as specified in the FCC license, for call sign Whiskey India 2 X-ray Foxtrot X-ray. The emission bandwidth may be up to 46 kHz wide, depending on the frequency and experiment. More conventionally from Alaska or not, KNLS English programming is relayed via their sibling station in Madagascar, MWV. I ran across it August 10th, UT, Thursday at 0331, with a good signal on 13760, even though we're off the side of the beam aimed to South Asia. That's about as close as we can come in North America to antipodal focusing from not too far from the opposite side of the world. At 0336 to 0339, there was a feature by Carl Mann, DX History for Beginners. They've been running his features for many years. I think he originally started recording them up to 30 years ago. Not contemporary DX news, of course, but evergreen information. Due to lightning storms around here, I missed checking on RA36 Antarctica for their regular Saturday broadcast on August 5th, 15475.98, reduced carrier USB. However, I did find they were on the air Thursday, unexpectedly, August 10th, audible only via remote in Argentina, but a very good signal there. I tuned in at 1740 for a musical prelude and regular programming after 1800. Uniendo Voces is the general name of the program. They also referred to Estudio Nueve and the University of Quilmes, which seems to be involved in these productions. However, they chopped off the air abruptly at 1838 and not heard any further on that date. Via Chris Greenway, Mike Cooper, and BBC Monitoring, there was an article from the Telam news agency in Argentina late July about LRA 36. BBC Monitoring describes the article this way. A key part of its programming is the topic of Argentine's sovereignty claim over the Malvinas or Falkland Islands. The station is undergoing renovations and improvements to expand its reach. It quoted the radio station coordinator, Juan Benavente, that one of the station's aims was to Malvinizar, or talk about Argentine sovereignty over the Falklands, from Antarctica. Other goals are to inform about activities carried out at the different Argentine bases in Antarctica and to spread Argentina's culture to the rest of the world. In the NASA flash sheet, Ed Chicharek in New Jersey reports hearing the clandestine Afghanistan International Radio transmitter site Armenia on 7600, August 1st, for a few minutes before it went off at 0100. In IRCADX Monitor, the Canadian Radio News column by John Perkins says, checking newer Canadian models of Acura and Mazda vehicles, it is clear that it will take more than a simple must-have AM ruling in the U.S. to ensure that AM is available in vehicles to drivers when they suddenly need it during a disaster. The Acura was found to have disabled AM by default at the factory, requiring a change to a hard-to-find setting in their infotainment system. Mazda takes it one step further. Not only is AM unavailable by default and difficult to enable, but enabling AM disables FM. And from the same column, news about some specific stations. 1280 in Toronto has been CJRU, but now it's CJTM as of July 24th, or Met Radio, MET, to better reflect its role as Toronto Metropolitan University's campus and community station. The university and CJRU had previously been part of Toronto's Ryerson University. The website is at metradio.ca. Also, a large number of broadcast licenses were given a short-term renewal, similar to ones given during COVID-19, to give the CRTC more time to consider renewing those licenses. As of August 10th, Trudon Military is still missing from Volmet on 15034 and 6754. Meanwhile, Richard Lacroix of ODXA replied to my previous observation that there is another frequency from CHR used for two-way rather than weather, 11232. He says it is busy. It's the Canadian Forces Military Aeronautical Communication System, or MACS. As for the Volmet station, he says it's still to be determined. I contacted a work colleague in June 1st with regards to the clock being wrong in Eastern rather than Zulu time, with no response. It's the nature of the military. The member may have been posted out, on leave, or retired. Rafael Rodriguez in Colombia tells me there is a new media, or DX, and mailbag program on Alcaravan Radio 5910. It's called Onda Continua. It's already tested also on medium wave 1530. It's designed exclusively for shortwave enthusiasts, carried out by our good friend Fernando Alarcón, who has been a fundamental part of the organization Columbia for Christ and the campaign Fuerza de Paz. The schedule for Onda Continua is UT Saturdays and Sundays at 01, repeated at 04 and 09 UT. Besides some good Colombian music, reading reception reports, there will be tests in CW, SOSCAN television images, and historic audios of Colombian and Latin American radio stations. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. For example, on 9700, August 6th at 01:15, there was quite a mess. A mixture of at least two audios, but only one carrier. One was Spanish from RHC. I cannot be sure about the other program. It might have been in English, like on 6000, but I could not make it parallel. The clash with Romania on 9700 would not start until 0200. John Collins in Birmingham draws our attention to a special ham operation from the Czech Republic during the entire month of August. In 1968, Soviet forces entered the former Czechoslovakia. He heard at 22 UT on 7141 SSB, a special event station. Lots more info at QRZ.com with a very strange call sign, so copy it carefully when you look it up. OL68DURAK. That's Oscar Lima 68 Delta Uniform Romeo Alpha Kilo. That's the name of an amateur radio club in the Republic. In communication of the British DX Club, Dave Kenny says, I came across a massive 50/9 signal on 5960 at 19:20:30 UT Sunday, 23 July, with U.S. Christian programming. Checking HFCC, I found it registered under TDF in France as New PAB, a new broadcast from Pan American Broadcasting. That is Saturdays and Sundays at 19:21 on 5960 for Europe, but only heard on Sunday until 20:30. Another broadcast registered but not heard is 10:00 to 10:30 on Saturday and Sunday on 9545. But nothing else heard until next Sunday, July 30th at 19:20:30. In Rusty X, Victor Sikanovich reports about Olympia Radio in Greece, info from the reference book Admiralty List of Radio Signals about weather broadcasts. These are all on the 2 MHz band, mostly in the daytime, from Rhodes SVR on 2624 kHz. From Corfu, SVL on 2730. From Heraklion, Crete, SVH 2799. And from Kerkira, Corfu, SVK on 2830. The weather broadcast times are NUT 0633, 0903, 1533, and 2103. Via shortwave bulletin, Patrick Robich in Austria, ADX, reports an Israeli FM station being relayed on 5,000 kHz USB. It used to be on 6,000, but July 26th at 17:58, he was hearing a program from Echo 99 FM. About Kenya, from Idun's medium wave info via the Arctic Radio Club, the Ministry of Information, Communication, and Digital Economy announced plans to revamp state broadcaster KBC. Also plans to move radio broadcasts from medium wave to FM. There are already FM transmitters in a number of cities, and it seems there is only one medium wave frequency left in Kenya, 1386 kHz. WRTH listed as 50 kilowatts. In communication of the British DS Club, Tomoaki Wagai in Japan reports on Radio Free North Korea via Tashkent, Uzbekistan. They've changed some frequencies, but they're typically skewed minus, as many but not all, perhaps, of the Tashkent transmitters are. At 20 UT on July 15th, the frequency changed to 7629.92. And on July 27th, another change to 7609.91. Not audible direct, but via remote in Holland, another check of the Turco-Kurdo radio war, August 9th at 17:55. 17460. I think that was Denga Welat, because there was a separate signal with music on 17470, but the latter cut off at 1800 sharp, and then both of them were on 17460. Some Mexican medium wave news originating with Remy Humbert's En Frecuencia blog, via Tim Hall in NRC DX News, via the Arctic Radio Club. There is a new social community station, which has a construction permit, on 560 in Chetumal, Quintana Roo, XECSAX. And on 1530, a new social community station in San Blas, Nayarit, XECSFY. The 690 in Rosarito, Baja California, near San Diego, XEWW, may soon broadcast news talk programming in English full-time. It's requesting FCC Special Temporary Authority, with a filing accepted June 27th. The FCC approves permits for this kind of service, where broadcasts would primarily consist of U.S. nationally syndicated programs. There's also an illustration of the XEWW logo, also calling it U Radio, that is the letter U, radio, but it also has some Chinese characters. New Zealand, via Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener from the rnz.co.nz website about media, dated 2 August. The RNZ board chairman, Dr. Jim Mather, welcomed findings of the panel investigating editorial processes, saying they are accepted in full by the board and all recommendations will be implemented. They've been investigating editorial processes after it emerged that international wire stories had been inappropriately sub-edited by a staff member, who has resigned, breaching editorial standards, including adding a pro-Russian perspective on the invasion of Ukraine. This happened on June 9th, so RNZ started an audit of published stories to assess if there had been other breaches. At the conclusion of the audit, 1,319 stories had been audited, and of those, 49 have been corrected or updated to bring them up to RNZ's editorial standards. Another country appears to be gone from shortwave, the final transmitter of Voice of Nigeria, 7255. I used to hear occasionally between 06 and 07 UT, often with bad modulation. But checking my records, I last logged it on July 9th, and still not heard as of August 10th. But there is a new broadcast on shortwave to Nigeria. It's called Yoruba Nation Shortwave Radio. It was publicized on FB via Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil. Starting in August, it's Saturdays and Sundays only at 19 to 20 UT on 17735. That's listed as the Wooferton UK site. In the NASPA flash sheet, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin was monitoring it on Sunday, August 6th from 1859, signing on in English, but then mostly in Yoruba. It is a new opposition station. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 2203. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Many thanks this week for financial support from Kenneth Bruckner, who sent a generous contribution via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. He says, thanks for World of Radio since 1975. It's really nice to see you still at it, and I'm enjoying working my way back through the podcasts. You may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank and U.S. funds to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. The Antichrist Pirate Station YHWH continues to be active and heard almost every evening on 7475 from somewhere in the southwestern U.S., it seems. Eric Fetterswalp in Washington State, Rick Martin in Arizona, and, well, some in B.C. often report him. From before 0300 to sometime after 0400 or as late as 0455. Sometimes he gives his mailing address as Elliot, P.O. Box 1722, Inyo Kern, California, 93527. He trashes the Catholic Church but says all religions have failed us. He's also been remarking that he's lonely and looking for a companion and a wife. He also says he wishes to join a Yahweh survivalist commune. Dateline Okinawa is a radio country, but now part of Japan, of course, but still with American Forces Radio. A report, July 27th, in Stars and Stripes, mentions the slogans of the AFN stations, which makes it sound like a vacation destination. Surf 648 and Wave 89.1. However, fans of AFN and NPR must wait a little longer for the medium wave to be back on the air. Repairs are being made due to a faulty tower and supporting equipment. 648 went off March 21st and was supposed to be back on by June 1st, but the contractor discovered further problems. Now it hopes to be back online by early September. In Australian DX News, Ruman Pankov in Bulgaria reports an NID playing non-stop national anthem of the USSR and old Soviet military songs in Russian. July 18th at 05 until 08, sign on and sign off on 6828.0 upper sideband. Thanks to Gianni Serra in Italy for sending a story from The Economist. The June 20th issue apparently not available online but accessible via the World of Radio group. Russians join the resistance with pirate radio and Tinder. People are finding inventive ways to protest against Putin's war. It's by Philip Dziadko, a Russian poet and journalist and novelist living in exile in Germany. It's about Vladimir Rumyantsev. He tends a furnace in a factory boiler room, but in the evenings he was DJ of his own pirate radio station with anti-war diatribes against Putin's special military operation in Ukraine. He set up the station before the war as a hobby. Radio Vovan, V-O-V-A-N, a play on a nickname for Vladimir, mainly music from the Soviet era that he found in online archives. It was a very weak signal, could only be heard in his neighborhood, frequency never mentioned, but he is now in prison, and his life savings have been seized, so he will be a pauper when he leaves prison, but he has no regrets. The Arctic Radio Club, Mauno Ritalo in Finland, says Saudi Arabia's 1521 kHz is back on the air as of August 7th. That's the 2-megawatt unit in the northwest corner of the country, which perhaps has the best chance of reaching North America. As of August 5th, Ron Howard, upon Asilomar State Beach, California, was still hearing Solomon Islands, B.C., 5020, with a new expanded schedule, past 1200 UT, still going past 1420. Using remote receivers, Tony Rogers in the UK was also listening to Solomon's 5020. He says on Saturday, 5 August, there were non-stop songs from 1200, continuing through to the start of Sunday morning programs at 19 UT Saturday. That's 6 a.m. local time, and there were no announcements overnight. Australian DX News, Ruman Pankov in Bulgaria, reports presumed radio Warsan, Somalia. July 18th at 1813, talk in vernaculars on 7750.1 upper sideband. But there was rumbling another signal on 7750.0. Chris Campbell reminds us that the BBC prom season is underway. Some excellent concerts broadcast live on BBC Radio 3 and webcast. They began in mid-July and run through mid-September. But they're also available on demand at BBC Sounds, but only for 2 months after the original broadcast date. Matt Francis in Australia says Foreign Affairs magazine has an excellent piece on the BBC World Service by historian and author Simon Potter. It's available at foreignaffairs.com under this title, The BBC and the Decline of British Soft Power. Focuses on how funding for the World Service has suffered because of domestic hostility to the BBC. These attacks intensified from 2010 onward, driven by a range of political and commercial groups that wanted to see the BBC cut down to size or eliminated entirely, and it seemed to care little about how this might affect the World Service and British soft power. And another direct quote, keeping the World Service under the umbrella of the BBC protects its status as an independent voice, reflecting the plurality of British democracy. Under direct government control, it might instead appear to be simply an organ of state propaganda, merely a British iteration of Voice of America. Its global reach and influence would surely decline. In Michael Cole, a very long article in the New Republic about the Claremont Institute think tank, mentions Michael Peck. 4 years of the Trump presidency afford us some insight into what the deconstruction of the administrative state, to borrow Steve Bannon's phrasing of the Claremont idea, looks like on the ground. Epic levels of corruption, nepotism, incompetence, polarization, and politicization. The best illustration of the tendencies that happens comes from the tenure of Claremonter Michael Pack as head of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, flagship VOA. Pack was president and CEO of Claremont from 2015 to 2017. His reign at Voice of America began late in Trump's term, lasted 7 months, and ended 2 hours after President Biden took office. During those 7 months, Pack inspired multiple formal investigations and rebukes from various federal and D.C. judges who found that he acted illegally and even unconstitutionally, according to NPR reporting. I don't think he had a plan other than to just blow the place up, said Dan Hanlon, a former top aide to Trump's chief of staff, who was himself appointed by Trump to the agency. We would come in at 9 o'clock and stamp out at 5 o'clock, Hanlon said, and we played foosball all day, and we would just sit there commenting about how absurd this whole thing was. From Eric Cottrell's Ham column in CIDX Messenger, a job posting via ARRL that the FCC is looking for qualified applicants for field agents in 5 local offices in New York, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Salary ranges from $66,000 to $158,000 per year, depending on qualifications. See the ARRL notice for further info or go to www.usajobs.gov. The last remaining airing of World of Radio on the 9955 frequency of WRMI has been replaced by something else that was Sunday at 1330. But there are still a number of other airings. You can see them all at worldofradio.com under Radio Schedules. Ron Trotto, WDX4KWI, reports that WSMI, 1540 in Litchfield, Illinois, seems to stay on longer till midnight with reduced power when broadcasting Cardinals baseball. They used to have a format of country gold in the daylight hours, but now they play 60s and 70s and 80s music. Well, as a matter of fact, they're licensed as a daytimer only. 17305, July 24th at midnight 47 UT, I found 20 to 30 over 9 of dead air. Obviously, USAGM Grimesland, North Carolina, warming up for the Vatican, Portuguese, and Spanish relays at 01 to 02, which violate separation of church and state. You see, the secular U.S. government is showing extreme favoritism for one particular sect. All other gospel hucksters could insist on equal access. Are the Catholics billed for burning an extra quarter hour of juice? The finances of this deal would be very interesting. Since VOA also goes out via Santa Maria de Galeria, it is an exchange. But I doubt the hour spans and kilowatts match, let alone the true bottom-line expenses. Ron Howard in California has been monitoring Vietnam's marine coastal stations. On 8294 USB, presumed Ho Chi Minh radio, July 28th, on the air only between 1305 and 1314 UT. There were intro and exit tones, and longer than usual marine weather in Vietnamese. It's a Vishipel coastal station, V-I-S-H-I-P-E-L. That stands for, in translation, Vietnam Maritime Communications and Electronics, LLC. Also heard earlier on July 28th, on the air for only 3 minutes at 1231 to 1234 on 8812 USB, another Marine Coastal Station, but not clear which location. In Vietnamese, the segment started with tones and then a Marine forecast. And then 2 minutes in English, 12:34 to 12:36, somewhat readable. Weather info for South China coastal waters, provided by the Hong Kong Observatory. Area forecast for the next 24 hours, and outlook for the following 48 hours, and then end of broadcast. No one has reported Zanzibar on 11735 for a long time, but a visitor to Tanzania in June says he heard it. I think the same one who said he heard Sudan on 7205. But anyhow, via BCDX, this from Sebastian Arndt in Germany, via Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener. ZBC was heard on 585 and 11735. Good signal on shortwave, but miserable audio quality, making it practically unusable. WRDH had marked this schedule, but inactive at 15 to 21 on 11735 and 03 to 06 on 6015. 6015 is not being reported now, but Ron Howard replies, "For many years, Dan Sheedy and I often enjoyed monitoring ZBC radio on 6015. About early 2019, the sign-on time changed to being close to 0330 UT. Before then, it often started just before 0300 with a Spice FM intro, before the ZBC programming started with reciting from the Quran that started about 0301. He says hearing Zanzibar always seemed very exotic to me and will always remember the fun of listening to their Zanzibar song. Beware of an RF noisy lamp. A nice bright LED ring lamp on a totally adjustable gooseneck turns out to be source of S9 RF noise across the long, medium, and high frequency spectra on my nearby R75, as long as it's plugged in, whether turned on or not. The boilerplate does not admit to being made in China, but we got it at Walmart, and it's from the Zhejiang Yangkon Group Company Limited. Here's the other info. It's Intertech 5005686, model MTSLL 1038AHG, also with a logo in a circle of ETL. So now it's banished to elsewhere in the house, and or unplugged while DXing. To the DXing community at large, Jim Thomas of WTFDA reminds us of the premier meteor scatter event of the season, the Perseids now in full swing. In fact, the peak is the night of August 12th and 13th. Whether or not you're in a position to see them, you can hear them via FM radio, tuned to an open FM frequency. If you have some antenna gain, all the better, but even a portable can hear some brief meteor scatter pings. And if you're very, very lucky, this may be during something identifiable from the station. International Meteor Organization, the American Meteor Society, and ARRL calculate or estimate there are about 300 radio meteors per hour. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued August 7th. Geomagnetic activity mostly quiet for the rest of the month, with ANK indices of only 5 and 2, except on August 26th, 12 and 4. That is, active conditions. Solar flux no lower than 160 August 16th, and no higher than 174 August 29th. Of course, these predictions are seldom fulfilled exactly. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, Glenn Hauser, hoping you'll hear me again next week, as I conclude This World of Radio, number 2203, with a standard disclaimer.